This is the Q&A session for Mark Carrier's conference on June 17th. Most of the questions cannot be heard, so sorry, what you'll be listening to is just Mark's answers without hearing the questions.
Stronghold, we need to pray against it. Okay. If it's just to renew their mind, we need to ask the Holy Spirit to fill them and renew their mind. If they've just not been baptized in the Holy Spirit, we need to pray for that. And if there's unforgiveness or some event, you kind of do, it's kind of like it's like FBI. I mean, you're trying to figure out what is up with this guy and where, what is the root of the problem. A lot of problems, there's something underneath, okay, that they have insecurity, they don't trust anybody, and you find out that their father was violent when they were a kid or something, you know. They, whatever it might be, and they might need to forgive somebody for that. So you try to help somebody through that process. And I believe if you help counsel somebody through healing and releasing the things that have been done to them, it will be very, very easy for them to repent of their own sins and not repeat, because they'll have been healed. Because those strongholds, Satan has three things he chains us with. If you cut that, then you have freedom and you're released, because people do repeat what's been done to them. I mean, you look at prison population, certain groups of people, that they have this cycle, that it's a generational thing at that point. And if you break it with the chain above you, then it won't have to follow you. Well, I want to add a little to that, because his question was, what can he do? You know, like, this talk was not to get a whole bunch of people to book flights to Africa. Okay, I was hoping I taught you something and showed you that multi-generational discipleship is wherever you are. America is a nation. The place you live is a nation. Personal family relationships, that's exactly what I would teach. I mean, the Bible clearly teaches that wives submit to your husbands, husbands love your wives. We all like to look at the other verse. Yeah, I would love her if she submitted to me, or I would submit to him if he loved me. But the problem is, we're only going to be accountable for the verse addressed to us. So if we do our part, then we have to wait on God to do his part and pray. I have seen amazing miracles. These things that we're seeing, these are miracles. Changing a person's heart is a huge miracle. And God can do that, but we need to be a praying person. We need to pray for our spouses. We need to get our prayer partners to pray for our spouses. If we were as serious about prayer as we should be, we would see more of those kinds of miracles. But as far as getting on the mission, brother, look for one disciple. One. If you make one disciple in a year, it'll be four. Then it'll be eight. Reach the world in 33 years. If you just get that one little piece, you realize it's not booking a flight to Africa. The work's right here. Some people believe and teach, which I don't agree with, that these healings only work with unbelievers, which I don't believe it or teach that. But some people, nobody believes that it doesn't work with a non-believer, because they believe it's to prove that God is real. So if she's a non-believer and she's healed, it'll make her more open to these teachings. So do it. And headaches are the easiest, except for one of my daughters. Rebecca, you cannot heal a headache. Never. Can't get a headache out of that girl. I've never seen an actual language that was discernible by the people in the room, but I've seen interpretation of tongues. Okay? I've seen people have conversations, and it's really weird. They'll be talking back and forth to each other, praying. Isaiah's seen it too. And we've seen fake tongues, demons speaking in tongues, but then the person who can interpret talking right back and rebuking that demon, saying, I know who you are. How many are you? And the thing answers, he says, no, English, two. It's like, that's some weird stuff. So you've seen that too, haven't you? Crazy. Yeah, you always give them little assignments, little tasks. Study this, read this, do this. And then you check, what did you do this week? Oh, I was busy with work. Oh, I'm sorry. Hey, let's meet next Tuesday at 9 o'clock. Where were you? Oh, sorry. I had this. I had So if they're not willing to show a commitment to anything you're investing in them, then you shouldn't be making that commitment to them. So you give them a few chances, and if they're not willing to take ownership in their own discipleship, reading assignments, trying something, it's like, hey, I expect you, you know, go out tomorrow and let's see what happens, or let's go do some evangelism. And if they can't make a commitment, so it's the little things like that. Time commitment, effort, and then you realize they're not really serious. If somebody has said that they've surrendered to Christ, but they can't, like, invest any time or effort into either personal spiritual growth or prayer or fasting or, you know, or sitting down with you for discipleship or going in the field with you, then you know you're done. Okay, I've read stories about them, but only in books. I don't know anybody personally. But I also know many people that believe that the unintelligible tongues is actually another language. Yeah, I don't doubt it. I mean, living in Kenya, we have 42 languages. They all sound so incredibly different. And I know some people, when they pray in tongues, I can hear some words in English. And I'm just like, huh? It's just kind of weird. Because there was one person praying in tongues that does not know a word of English. And half of it I can hear in English. And I'm not sure if it's really English or God is giving me spiritual discernment, but Mama Fundi. Okay, and she doesn't know a lick of English. So some of my kids might have the gift of interpretation then, because she doesn't know English at all. She's a very rural person. So some people think it is actually, there's thousands and thousands and thousands of languages. So if it's some language far away, how do you know? You don't know. Okay. But I've only read stories and books about those things. I've never seen it. I get what you're trying to say. We shouldn't compromise anything. So we should really try to get a keen understanding of what it is. And this is my rule on how I apply things like that. You go with the most straightforward reading of Scripture, and then where things are controversial, I defer to the wisdom and the experience, okay, documented in the first 150, 200 years of the church. Okay? They do. That's what I go with. Okay, but the issue of, okay, tongues is only verbal audible when there's an interpreter. Okay? So, for example, we have our nightly prayer meeting, our weekly nightly prayer meetings. That's a prayer free-for-all. That's not one person at a time, because it's not for the edification of the body. We're crying out to God. Are you getting me? Okay, in a fellowship time, the gifts are in operation to edify the body. That is God speaking to people. People are finite. They can hear one at a time. When we're praying to God in a prayer meeting, it's pandemonium of prayer. God can hear us all at once. Okay? And there are people praying in tongues, and they're praying seriously. But that's not for people to hear. We're not like, oh, what did she say? What did she say? What did he say? You know what I'm saying? So it's men and women praying, and it's a serious prayer session. That's a very different thing. But when Paul is talking in 1 Corinthians 14, my interpretation is that is a gathering for the edification of the saints. So if you're going to have a teaching, prayer, prophecy, you're not going to have three songs going at once. You're not going to have three prophets speaking at once. You're not going to have, that's not what it's for. But when you're crying out to God, you want as many incense going up to heaven as possible. Okay, so it's a different event. So tongues is really, since we don't really have interpreters, okay, there's, when somebody has a message from the Lord, they would, in a normal Pentecostal environment, somebody will stand and they'll say something in tongues loudly, fervently. Then they'll sit. Then somebody else will stand and tell you what it means. Okay? So if somebody stands and does that, I believe God would give us an interpreter. But nobody has ever had that particular talent among our people. Okay? We haven't seen it. And our churches they're typically pretty small. Our prayer meeting's bigger. We've had as many as 70 people at the prayer meeting. Okay, but our churches are probably 20, 25 people. You know, they're house churches. They're small. And children. When my family's there, I had 10 children. Yeah. Yeah, that's multi-church. Yes. Yes, and other churches outside of our group even. People come, I mean, a lot of people are there to be delivered from demons and healed and stuff like that. They just show up for that. Because it's where the action is. People have come from very, very far, gone to all the hospitals and whatever, there's nothing left. They come and nobody goes home without getting healed. When we have all those people praying at once, nobody goes home without getting healed. That's a really good question. Yeah. I mean, we start with just, we pray for like 30 minutes or an hour.
And that's then, everyone, right?
Like, yeah, that's it's loud. It's pandemonium. Yes. And I mean, me, I kind of yell and pace when I'm praying. So it's everybody has a different style, okay? And we're praying against strongholds, witchcraft. We're praying against deception. We're praying against problems with our people. We're praying against, we have sick people all the time. We're praying. We're just praying for about an hour. Then people come out and say, I had a vision. God showed me this. God leads the prayer meetings. It's very specific. Very specific what we're going to pray for next. After the first hour of prayer, the agenda gets set by the Holy Spirit. And then and then stuff will happen. The last meeting we had right before I came here, the Lord showed me what to do. You're going to think this is funny. I did a mass deliverance. I had everybody on their knees, everybody confessing, everybody repenting, whatever, and I prayed for everybody at once. Five people were freed from demons at once. By me praying for them all at once, because the Holy Spirit told me to do that. And so that was pretty wild. I mean, that was unique. That took an hour or two right there. I mean, then after that, one of the guys said that the Lord wanted us to each pray for our personal needs one by one. That took like 4 hours. I mean, we had 27 people at the last meeting. So everybody would say what their needs were, and then we would go through, and that took us till 4 a.m. We have chai at like 5 a.m., so people leave at 5:30.